This is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll talk to a couple who turned their tragedy into a new children's hospital in memory of their daughter Maria. But first, can you relate 13 things anyone who loves a highly sensitive person should know? About 1 in 5 people of both genders can be classified as highly sensitive. So here are a few things to keep in mind if you have a highly sensitive loved one. Number one, they're going to cry. They'll shed tears when they're happy, sad, or angry because highly sensitive people just naturally feel more deeply and react accordingly. Number two, not all of us are introverts. Introversion does not equal sensitivity. In fact, about 30% of highly sensitive people are extroverts. Number three, decisions make us nervous. Highly sensitive individuals are notoriously bad at making choices because they agonize over the possibility of making the wrong one. Number four, we notice that subtle change in your tone. They're generally more intuitive when it comes to the tiny nuances and more affected by shifts in other people's moods. Number five, we're always willing to hear you vent. Their overly empathetic nature makes them excellent listeners when you need it, because when you feel pain, they do too. Highly sensitive people make excellent teachers, therapists, and managers. Number six, repetitive and loud noises are the worst. Whether it's loud chewing, a whistling train, or boisterous coworkers, they're sensitive to it because overstimulating environments have more of an influence on them. Highly sensitive people say that their workplace habits are a bit atypical. Working from home or in a quiet space is a dream for highly sensitive people, especially when it lets them focus if they become too overwhelmed. Number eight, don't ask us to see the new slasher movie. Being very empathetic and easily overstimulated makes gory, violent films truly terrible for highly sensitive people. Number nine, criticism is incredibly distressing. They tend to avoid things that may cause shame, which may result in people-pleasing or self-deprecating behavior. Number 10, we're constantly being told that we're taking things too personally. A joke at our expense sometimes just isn't a joke to us. Number 11, we have a low pain tolerance. Whether it's a broken arm or a stubbed toe, injuries really hurt because sensitive people are easily affected by pain. Number 12, we crave deep relationships. Highly sensitive people tend to get more bored in marriages than non-HSP couples, mostly due to the lack of meaningful interaction that naturally occurs as time goes by. Number 13, we just can't stop being highly sensitive. A 2014 study found that highly sensitive people experience more activity in regions of the brain associated with empathy and awareness, so they're wired to behave the way they do. I guess I'd have to plead guilty on that one. Time to meet John and Brenda Ferrari, the couple behind the Maria Ferrari Children's Hospital, a one-of-a-kind place for kids to get better.
So I'm here with John and Brenda Ferrari, and we're here at the Maria Ferrari Children's Hospital at Westchester Medical Center in New York. And tell everyone, I know you've told this story at least 1,000 times, but what was it that led you and John to start a multi-million dollar campaign to build a hospital?
Our daughter Maria, who the hospital is named after, had a class assignment to make a wish or to change something in the world. What would she do? And Maria wished for the health and well-being of all the children in the world. And a few months later, she died of rabies. And that was the theme that kind of pushed us on. And when she was younger, she had also had to do a timeline. And she was going to be a famous scientist. She was going to be a movie star. She was going to be a mom. And she was going to make a very important scientific discovery. So I kind of think the two things go together, since now rabies is much more worldwide known and watched out for.
And so you and your husband, John, became the spearheads behind building this children's hospital. Tell us how you managed to raise all that money.
John first went to our dear friends, and we went to the administration and told them what we wanted to do. John can answer more of those questions, but it was a struggle, but once we started, we just keep on rolling on. We keep growing, and we're internationally known now. Well, Bruce Comiskey, who was a gentleman who does children's hospitals, got on board with us, and since then, he's said that when he does his things, he says, we're the next hospital to beat. in the world. So
it's quite an accomplishment.
It's all Maria.
So, John, let me ask you, when you had this idea to build this freestanding children's hospital on the grounds of the Westchester Medical Center, did you investigate other hospitals in the country to see what they had done? And how did you approach it?
Yeah, we actually toured many hospitals, major hospitals in the United States and abroad, and to get ideas of what to do, what works, what doesn't work, and it was very, very helpful. Not only that, we met the executive director, Bruce Kaminsky, who was absolutely vital to the success of creating the Maria Ferrari Children's Hospital. So it was a great experience.
Now, you are a builder by trade, so you could get the construction end of it, you wrap your mind around it, but what were the amenities inside this building that you really wanted to bring to the fore?
Well, we wanted to do something that was different. We wanted to bring ideas that would be distractions when parents and their children are in the hospital, and so many different groups stepped up. It wasn't planned from the beginning, but as different groups stepped up, they contributed. There was David Cohen, who was with the Yankees then, which was very helpful, and we have our history of baseball there, and we have fire engines and aquariums and all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's really a unique place, and it's the only one ever named for a child, correct? The Maria Ferrari Children's Hospital has that distinction.
That's correct. That's correct. Maria, inspired us, and we inspired others, and it's been helping a lot of children for the last 10, 11 years, and it'll continue to help more.
All right, and Brenda, tell everybody about the movie that was recently made of your life and John's efforts to build this hospital.
The name of the movie is Louder Than Words. It took us about 3 years between doing the script, which I did, and filming it. We had David Duchovny to play John, which was a perfect match. Hope Davis, who I'm told really played me. Little girl Olivia, who just the moment we saw her audition tape, she was Maria. It was amazing. Ben and Adelaide and Morgan played our children, and it was a great experience. They were very sensitive to our story and to us. We all got to know each other really well, so we kind of got another family out of it as well.
Well, the thing is that that's a major accomplishment to have those kind of stars act as you in a movie. What was that like? Kind of surreal?
It was kind of, yeah. It was like, really? David Duchovny, Hope Davis? Oh, and Timothy Hutton played Bruce. We were like, oh my gosh, this is unreal. It was fun. It was interesting.
And people can still see it on demand and all that stuff?
Yep. It's on demand. It's on Apple. You can buy it in a store. You can buy it online. Yeah.
And it accurately portrays what you two went through?
It does. They were very good about keeping the emotional. Some peripheral stuff isn't, but basically, yeah, they did a great job. They really did.
So what's next for you guys?
Oh, I don't know.
Big Hollywood producers?
maybe we'll do a few more movies. It was kind of fun.
And John, let me ask you, when David Duchovny is playing you, can you live up to that? He's a pretty popular guy.
Yeah, he is a pretty popular guy. But I always tell him I'm better looking than him, so.
And does he laugh like I just did?
Yes, he does. So do I.
And he's coming back with the X-Files, so.
Yeah, and he's also has a show, Aquarius. I think that's going to be on, I think, NBC the end of May. And so he's busy. I had dinner with him the other night, and he's very, very busy. So it's good.
And so you become friends with him, right?
Yeah, he's a really great guy. And we still keep in contact and get together every now and then.
So when you're here today, this is a big fundraiser for the Maria Ferrari Children's Hospital, which is ever expanding because it's to capacity all the time. What are your thoughts as you sit here today, many years after your daughter passed away, but still the memories are fresh, right?
Yeah. The hospital's an ongoing project. We're looking expanding. We've been expanding throughout the years, and that's very exciting. And, it's just good to see, especially here today, you see so many children and families that have been affected by the hospital, and it's really wonderful to hear the many, many success stories.
And Brenda, lastly, you guys epitomize turning tragedy into triumph. What are your thoughts on this day of fundraising for the Children's Hospital?
Well, it always makes me miss Maria. And it warms my heart because there are some children that I've been following almost since we opened the hospital, which is 11 years now. And it's always wonderful to see them getting better and better and to know what they're doing. One girl in particular is in college now, and there was no hope for her at the beginning. So it's a good feeling to know that many lives have been affected in a positive way.
And what's your message to parents who might have suffered a loss like yours?
It doesn't get any easier, but it does get better, because especially if you do something that affects others, if you carry on your child's life for them, I guess, basically.
Well, thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mike.
I'd love to hear your comments. Send me an email at Mike AW, like America Weekend, Mike AW at MikeBennettRadio.com. That's Mike AW at MikeBennettRadio.com. You can also find me on Twitter. Follow me at MikeBennett11, at MikeBennett11. And with John and Brenda Ferrari and their inspiring story, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Diane loves her two cats, but lives in a small Hollywood apartment, and they're climbing on everything. So Diane takes her cats to the vet to be declawed. When the vet says he won't do it, she takes the cats to another vet, and he says no. What's going on here? The final verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
It's fast, it's furious, it's totally bonkers, so buckle up, because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in!
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Several states have ruled that individual cities have a legal right to ban the declawing of house cats. Diane lives in Hollywood, which has an ordinance prohibiting veterinarians from declawing cats on the grounds that it causes pain, anguish, and permanent disability. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. How much privacy do mom and dad need? And how do you teach your child to respect your privacy? Well, here's the how in the developmental science of it.
I can see you naked anytime I want.
To protect both parent and child, start early and establish a rule about closed doors. Now, it may sound simplistic, but teach your child how to knock on doors. Also, make sure to add a no shouting through the door corollary. Reward when the rule is honored and impose consequences when the door is opened without permission. And make sure your child knows they'll be able to spend time with you later. What's the cheap psychological trick? This simple rule, followed by quality time with mom or dad, makes it easier for a child to tolerate a closed door and their separation from you. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.